I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild time.
Thank you for downloading the Podcastianos. Now, here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get without the sir, cause I'm chilling in the background. Knowing that I'm gonna give it.
Welcome back to another episode of the Podcastianos. I am Jordan Hall. And I'm joined, as always, by the most distinctive-looking man in the industry. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, how are you this evening?
I'm tremendous, and always wondering where you're going with the intro.
You can't figure out where I'm going with this intro? I feel like it's relatively straightforward.
You know, it's about 50-50. Half of them I'm like, oh, kind of tracking where he's going, and some of them I'm like, I'm just going to kind of slow play this until I see where he's heading.
It's like watching Victor Reyes track fly balls in the outfield.
Oh, he looks good in batting practice, though.
So you usually are the one that come on this show and complain like an old man about trivial things, just yelling at the sky. But tonight I have a little bit of a beef. Is it okay if I air that out real quick?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I didn't do any running this week, so... Well,
I mean, you can still do the beef.
Do late. Full swap.
Yeah, no, you can just do
double this beef.
This is just a brief beef, an abbreviated beef.
This is a double burger beef sandwich.
So I was in Sam's Day getting some stuff for the campground. And as you know, with Sam's, one of the big deals is the samples, which. I mean, who doesn't love a small portion of something for free? I mean, that is why we all go to Sam's. Don't get me wrong; it's not about bulk, it's about the samples.
So, my Sam's is called Costco, but yes, I'm tracking with you.
I live in the big city now. We actually have both a Sam's and a Costco. So suck on that, Grand Rapids. Yeah,
fancy.
But anyway, so going up the main aisle, you know, it's kind of like between like where the candy is and where the frozen stuff is. That's your typical. Sample aisle, and there's this older lady who is yelling. I guess yelling's probably a bit much. She's crying out, "Burgers, burgers! I have burgers!" Like that's what she's serving, is burgers. And the veracity with which she's proclaiming that she has burgers, it makes you wonder, is something going on here? But I didn't question. Somebody offered me a small slice of burger. I'm gonna eat that. Let's be honest. And it came with some pita chips on the side. It was like a mini meal of a sample. So wow. I grab my portion of burger, and she looks square at me and says, "That's a veggie burger." Well, what am I going to do with this thing now? Clearly, I have this veggie burger in my possession. She's looking it right at me. I can't dump it. I don't want this crap. Like,
notice she bait and switched you.
Complete bait and switch. So I ate it. And I had to do one of those, oh, yeah, this isn't as bad as I thought it would be, you know, for being a veggie. No, it was terrible.
That's where she wanted to put you.
Yeah, it was garbage. So
I don't know how far we want to – how much time we want to spend on this. But this reminds me, my family, my extended family is a hunting family. We are sports persons, okay? like my grandma – would have potlucks and have people over as grandmothers do, right? Mm-hmm. And so she would serve like some kind of taco dish or some kind of lasagna, and she would always ask my wife, so what do you think about this burger? You know, one of these deals. And
it's squirrel.
She's like, I don't know. Because she very clearly does not like venison. Mm. And it was clearly venison in the dish. And Grandma was doing the same thing as the Sam's Club lady. Oh, gotcha. It's me. Don't do that, people.
That's disgusting. Yeah. I've had venison once. I think we had it mixed in like chili, and I was like, it tastes enough like beef. The one thing that I don't like is veal. Obviously you all know that I like animals. There's just something weird about eating a baby cow. Like, let that thing grow up, let it have dreams, and have those dreams be crushed by life before we go ahead and eat it. You know?
Later when we're not recording, I'll tell you, we'll share some more inside veal stories.
Yeah.
I can't share now.
So anyway, this doesn't actually lead at all to the lead-off question.
Where are we going with this?
The transition here is that Pete Cosma looks a lot like the guy from Train, the lead singer from Train. Does he not?
I have no idea. Train.
Wildly uncultured and to not know the leads. I don't know what his name is, but he looks just like the lead singer from Train. You know,
Train was huge when I was in college. Drops of Jupiter in her hair. Yeah.
So anyway,
they were huge for like 2 years. Train was enormous.
Train's back. Train's had a pretty good last 5 years. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, not my brand of music, but they've had a nice little run. And I've never seen him and Pete Cosma in the same room. So, I mean,
have you ever seen Train and Maroon 5 in the same room together?
They're very like different bands. Come on.
They both suck.
you and music. You and Big Sean and music. Anyway, brings us to this week's leadoff question. What's your favorite sports doppelganger?
Oh, sports doppelganger? I think there's a very clear one that's the best, and that is Curtis Granderson and Gus from Psych.
Oh yeah, and I can see that.
Is it Dooley, or how do you, I don't know how you say his name? Hill, Duel, Dooley, Hill.
I don't know any actors' names. I only know them as their characters.
Gus from Psych and Curtis Granderson. Also, how about, oh, this one isn't a sports one, but it got some traction a while back. Will Ferrell and the drummer, is it for the Chili Peppers or Chad Smith?
Yeah, you're on your own there. I don't know the first thing about the Chili Peppers, but it sounds good. Sounds like it could be accurate.
So that was a thing a while back. But my sports one, I guess, would be Curtis Granderson.
Gotcha. That's a good one.
What do you got?
Besides the train guy. I have two different ones. The first one is one that I came up with myself, and the second one is one that I had to do some research, but I found to be hilarious. The first one is, have you seen the show Impractical Jokers?
Generally, I'm aware of the concept.
Okay, so there's one of, so this would be a lot funnier if you were familiar with the guys on the show. There's one of the guys in the show, James Murray, that looks just like Andres Iniesta, who plays midfield for Barcelona and for Spain. I know you're not understanding this, and probably the majority of the listeners at home are not understanding this, but if you do know the two men, they do look alike, and I feel like I was the first one to say that, so, you know.
How about Mikey Matuk and Groot from the Avengers?
I have no idea who that is either. I don't do superhero movies because, as you know, with movies,
they take too long.
Also, are you familiar with Bo Burnham? He's online comedian / music maker.
No.
Anyway, Bo Burnham and Grayson Allen look very similar. I feel like I was also the first one to say that. And then the one I can't take credit for, this came off of Bleacher Report, but Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner,
yeah,
and the guy from what's the American Gothic, is the,
yeah,
the painting. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They look American very Gothic. Similar. It's probably not an ideal look considering Adam Silver lives now, and that was like one in the 1920s, but you know, it's a classic look.
Grant Wood's famous painting. Yeah, it's in the Chicago Art Institute. I've seen a lot. It's a fine painting.
It is a painting. You cannot argue with that. It is a painting. Yeah. Okay, if you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinio4. Eric is at Comeric Eric, facebook.com/podcastianos. And we would love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. And as always, if you do leave us a review, say something interesting, say something funny, take a screenshot of it and send it to us, and we'll read it out on next week's show in appreciation. I have a few. Are you ready to listen to these? They're very nice.
Lay them on me.
Cam Gerard gave us a 5-star review, and it said, "Tigers talk without pretension." Here's the review.
Yeah, we haven't earned any of that.
"In these trifling times, I can relay that the podcast, or I can rely on the podcastianos to cover the important things in life: Tigers baseball, disc golf, Michigan weather, soccer, weekly beefs, and roadside objects, to name a few. With expectations for our beloved Bengals at an all-time low, Jordan and Eric have really upped their game to deliver an endearing podcast that informs and entertains."
Wow.
I think he brings that up
the cockles of my heart.
Have we stepped up our game this season to make up, you know, pick up the slack?
Well, in relative terms to the club, I think we appear better.
Okay. Yeah, I can get behind that. And the second one is from "Are You Ready, Steve?" He has a also 5 stars. "Love this podcast." And here's the review. "I have been been a Tigers fan ever since my dad took me to my first game at the age of 7, and I walked up the ramp and saw the green grass at Tiger Stadium."
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that.
"Oh, man, that was 50 years ago." So he's almost as old as you are.
Oh, eat a turd.
"I am obviously not your usual demographic. I don't have a Twitter account, for example, so I can't submit questions, right?" Okay, sidebar. I feel like I should bring this up more often because—
Do we have an email address?
We do have an email address. It's just podcastianos@gmail.com. I probably should have been giving that out this whole time. We don't want to discriminate against those who are without Twitter. Yeah. Because let's be honest, if you are without Twitter, you're probably living, you know, a better life than we are. Yeah. So kudos to you.
We should swap that for the Facebook reference that we never check.
That is a good point. I've actually—
We'll have our intern get on that.
All of them. All right, so where were we? "But I love baseball and especially the Tigers with all my heart and soul. So I want to let you guys know and other prospective listeners that this is definitely worth a listen. I love the playful banter back and forth, including the chatter about Norris's stiff groin, the weekly beef mixed with in-depth knowledge of the Tigers. There's no false sense of optimism that we're going to be a great team, just an appreciation for how fun this team is to watch. Keep up the great work, and I will definitely keep listening." Thank you, Steve.
Oh, thanks.
That's not even my dad. No, it's not even Big Steve.
That's not Big Steve. No, it's like medium sized Steve.
That is a different Steve altogether. So that's not just, you know, nepotism in that review. Right. So thank you very much for listening to us, Steve. It's very, very kind of you.
Baseball's fun. We're enjoying. This is the best part of life, right? We're not working. This is just fun.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
So it's been another week. Another slightly above 500-ish record, another couple DL casualties, and another couple games just sitting a tick below first place in what is, realistically speaking, the worst division in the history of sports.
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible. I mean, the Indians were supposed to be the shining beacon of light, and not so much.
Yeah, we're taking it to them tonight. Obviously, the game is going while we're recording tonight, but not Carlos Carrasco.
Are we still up 3-1?
Right to the mat. I believe so, though. Once we started talking, obviously, being a good millennial, I gave you my full and undivided attention. I put my phone down.
Yep, I don't have the TV on. I'm just talking with you. But Nico hit a bomb.
Yeah.
Right?
I got to be honest with you. I was very close to being off the Nico train entirely. I will still say that I never gave up faith. But if you were to, you know, get to my heart of hearts, I thought to myself, you know what? Maybe Nico is more of a AAA type of player. But he's been hot. Evan Woodbury was talking on Twitter today about how, you know, when Leonis Martin comes back from the DL, somebody's going to have to go. And a week ago, it would have been, you know, no question that it was Nico. Nico's put together a nice couple days, and we'll get to this soon, but I think we're really reaching that point where the Victor Reyes question is becoming a legitimate question. But let's get to that in a second. It was kind of an up and down week, like I said, but there were some real highlights this week. I figure maybe we can start doing this on a regular basis just to remember some of the high points. From the week. Do you have any highlights that you want to bring up?
Well, I mean, my most vivid memories of the week were from the game I was at. I went to the first game on Saturday, did not stay for the second because...
Oh, that was the one with three catchers in the lineup.
Yeah, yeah.
How often do you see that? I was all about that. Anyway, go on.
Well, four if you count Victor, I do right? Know. Huh? Sure. Reminds me of... Yeah. It reminds me of the old joke from Abraham Lincoln. He said, how many legs does a dog have if you count the tail as a leg?
I don't
four.
Know.
Four. It doesn't matter what you call the tail. It's still a tail. That's the joke.
Now, did you go see...
For the 1800s, it was a good joke.
Did you go see Abe stand up when you were in high school or college?
You know, you had to go see the stovepipe hat. It was a real draw back in the day, let me tell you. Things were in fuego back then. No, I'm just saying it's an interesting... No, you can't call Victor a catcher, even though I'd like to. It's fun. Anyway, yeah, all the catchers, like, isn't that a sign that maybe you're not maybe so good?
I mean, you certainly could make that case now, couldn't you? But...
Well, we've been hit with the injury bug so hard.
Absolutely.
And it's like this team is crazy. Like, the more you... It's almost like the worse... lineup that we put out there, the more we hit. It's like an inverse thing. Like, we just roll out some scrubs and they hit.
Yeah, the lineup for tonight, just Mikey Matuk, Pete Cosma. Obviously, Victor is a bona fide major league player. He's not very good anymore, but you cannot question whether he is a big league player. Then you go back to McCann, Hicks, Jacoby Jones, Nico, Iglesias, and Dixon. By most, you know, objective qualifications, that is not a very good offensive lineup. And yeah, we took it right to Carlos Carrasco.
That's crazy. Like Cosma, he hit a bomb and like had a double, and that was like the most extra base hits he's had in the last 5 years or something. It was something stupid like that, but the guy can't hit a lick.
Yeah.
And yep, on him up.
Pete Cosma is sporting a 2.333 OPS. I mean, that might be the greatest in baseball history. Speaking of, I had a brief interaction.
No one dogged Cosma.
With a gentleman on Twitter. I said something to the effect of that Pete Cosma may, in fact, be the GOAT. And he wanted for me to know that, you know, it is hard to be the GOAT at baseball. There's a lot of history and whatnot, and that he is, in fact, not the GOAT. So for those who were concerned with my perspective on Pete Cosma, it is, in fact, I have drawn back, and now I know that he is not the greatest of all time. So we're all on the same page there. So, there's not much they can do about that there's no punch. There's no flow in that lineup. But I was questioning what is the team's obligation to like put an entertaining product on the field? You know, that's something that, you know, with all of the tanking that's going on in baseball, I feel like that's kind of something that's been raised around baseball, around the country. But like you say, somehow we're more entertaining now than we were a week ago when half the team wasn't injured.
Right. I mean, you have guys like Jacoby Jones taking extra bases and running around and busting through stop signs on the way to home plate. Just doing crazy things like that. You know, I don't buy into the whole, you know, put pressure on the other team, but making the appropriate taking the appropriate extra base and stuff like that. I mean, that's kind of the fundamentally good stuff of baseball, and we're doing some of that, and we have to because we don't hit bombs as much.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, like, I've heard in folklore that other teams actually do, you know, take extra bases when applicable and run the bases hard. It's just been so long since I've seen it personally that I kind of forgot that was a thing that happens.
Right. But, we owe it to our fans to field the best team that we can. And right now, this is the best team that we can. I mean, you're not going to rush back guys who are injured in a season like this. You give them all the time that they need to heal. If there's an appropriate free agent pickup, like a guy is cut, like if we can pick somebody up on waivers, good. You know, you do that kind of thing. But you're not going to expend a lot of cash to bring somebody on board that's especially not a long-term person. So we're doing the best we can, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would, if you would have told
we're
me.
We're not full tank. I mean,
yeah. If you'd have told me, you know, coming on opening day that this is where we'd be at, I would have been shocked and, I mean, pleasantly surprised. I mean, I don't know that there's any, it was any way of getting
like
around
eight
it.
Or nine teams. There's eight or nine teams worse than us,
yeah.
Which to me is incredible. Because you think of all the firepower that we had in the lineup last year and how good we are, and we finished just in the league.
Yeah.
To think that we're, you know, it's good. We're playing above our heads, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Speaking of, I wanted to get to this before we move on and I forget it in my notes. Did you happen to see the embrace between Romine and Johnny Cain when Romine first came back? It was a touching moment. I tweeted that it melted my heart. It's just good
that
to
is
see.
The most podcastianos interaction that I could imagine.
So here's the thing. My dad was actually asking me, like, are the three of you guys going to become best friends? But three is a little bit of a crowd. Now I got to edge Andrew out of here if I'm actually going to ever become Johnny's best friend. So, you know, more on that to come. Okay.
You're so weird.
So we've dogged on him a decent amount over the course of the season. And over the course of essentially the entire run of the show. But James McCann kind of hasn't sucked this year. And that's something that nobody is talking about. I feel like there's this perception that he is just terrible. And granted, he still is not a very good defensive catcher. There's multiple times every game that I think to myself, oh my gosh, just catch the ball and frame it a little bit. And that's a strike. That's, you know, the old pitcher in me coming out. But he hasn't been bad. He's been okay.
He crushes lefties. Right.
Yeah.
His home run rate against lefties is terrific. Yeah. He kills lefties. Unfortunately, he can't face left-handed pitching every night. And he's significantly below average against righties. He's not a league average catcher yet. Is he?
Here's the thing. So obviously, fantasy baseball is not the be all end all of, but if you just take purely offensive categorical value, he is ranked 12th right now in baseball among catchers, just strictly from a player rater, from a, you know, main
offensive
five
only.
Offensive. I mean, that's an above average major league catcher. I know he's like he's. And don't get me wrong. I mean, we both know how, you know, how we feel about McCann. Don't think that he's the long term answer, but. I don't know. It just – he gets dogged on so much that it's nice to see him kind of have a little bit of a surge. And truly, you know, none of us think that he's the answer. But if he ended up being the answer behind the plate, that would be awesome. Like having a guy that throws well, it would be nice if he could work on the framing, work on the blocking, and become a little bit more of a well-rounded catcher. But a catcher who hits for a not terrible average, leads the team, and hits for occasional power – I mean, you can have that.
I will give McCann this. He displays a lot of industriousness.
Yeah.
Right. He does a lot of catching. He has a lot of responsibility. He's answering media questions. He's spending time with his pitchers. He's researching opponents. He's trying to get better. He's doing all the leadershipy things that you should be doing. He's got 5-month-old twin babies at home, which is not nothing. And it's a stressful job. He is carrying a lot of weight for this team. And okay, let's imagine he's a slightly below average catcher. That's okay. I mean, he's a bona fide big league catcher doing the best he can. And he's young, he can still improve, but he's putting a lot of work in.
Yeah.
And now these guys are well paid. Don't get me wrong. I mean, but he's doing good with the tools and assets he has, right?
Within the construct of baseball, I wouldn't say that he's particularly well paid. I mean, he's compensated enough.
Sure. Right. You know what I'm saying.
He's young and cost effective, I would say.
For sure.
And when you mix him in with a guy like Hicks, I mean, there are worse catching duos in baseball.
Right.
Now, neither of them stand out defensively, but that's another matter. Anyway, go on.
Well, can we talk about Hicks at first base?
Yes, we should. Go ahead.
Yeah, not so much. He's out there, and it's an adventure a little bit. he's getting to balls, he's knocking them down, but it looks a little not smooth, shall we say.
It's kind of funny because I feel like on last week's show we dogged the crap out of Nico at first base, and in this past week John Hicks has been it's been a classic hold my beer situation.
Here's the thing with Cabrera on the DL, we don't have a first baseman.
No.
I mean, you should take somebody who plays a different position and put them there, because otherwise throws would just go right past the base. I mean, you want somebody there to kind of catch it. But that's what we have. We don't have an actual trained first baseman.
Yes. And to be fair, to be fair to Avila, your best player is a first base. Like, Avila takes enough crap not having an adequate backup first baseman. I'm going to let that one slide because you're not assuming. I mean, I know that he's had some injury histories, but you know, you're not assuming that you're going to need to replace Mickey too much. Whereas having several options at short, several options in left field is far more.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, what are you going to gain? What are you going to do? Bring Chad Huffman up? I mean, is his defense going to yield you so much more marginal impact over Goodrum or Hicks? No, you just roll with what you have. So yeah. I'm not being too critical. I'm just saying we don't have a first baseman.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about Jacoby tonight, but we're running a little bit long. He is such an interesting player to me. He needs, you know, a full 5 or 10 minutes. Let's skip him and we'll get to him next week. There's just so much to go over to with him, but let's move on. I teased that we were going to come back to Victor Reyes. Just like Evan Woodbury said, at some point this week, we're going to need to make a call. One of Nico, Mikey, or Victor Reyes needs to hit the road. Let's see. So far this season, Victor Reyes has gotten multiple at bats in a game 7 times. Guess how many hits he has on the season? Do you know this off the top of your head?
I'm guessing 3 or 4.
He has 3 hits on the season. It is May 14th. He has 3 hits on the season.
Right. It's a lot of limited playing time, but if you feel so reluctant to use a guy, isn't that counterproductive for your team's success?
Absolutely. See, here's the thing. Like, I get the whole asset collection thing, but if he's so far away that he has gotten 0 at-bats over Jacoby, who, you know, has his strengths, but he's not lighting the world on fire. Matuk has been terrible. You know, Leonis Martin has taken a few days off. Castellanos is a below average right field, you know, fielding right fielder. He has gotten 0 at-bats whatsoever against relatively weak competition out, you know, for places out there. He's 23. It's not like he has, you know, all this time on his side. By this time next year, you know, he's going to be closer to you know, the prime of his career than you know, prospect status.
Well, and everybody talks all these Rule 5 guys, you have to keep him on the bench all year. You don't have to, all right? Communicate with the Diamondbacks and say, we like this kid, but we want to gain some flexibility. Let us trade you a competent single A pitcher for the right to keep him.
Yeah.
This stuff happens all the time. Or some cash considerations, if you really believe that. I mean, the Diamondbacks can't be looking over at our team and salivating over the performance of him.
No. If that was the case, they wouldn't have left him unprotected. Right. I mean, obviously there are exceptions to that. But, you know, I don't know how anyone can have watched the Tigers this year and think, you know what, I need a lot to get that guy in return.
Yeah, we're wasting a lot of breath on this guy. We don't think he's particularly good.
Yes.
And
we're far from the only one that think that.
He might develop into something, but nobody knows, right? It's too soon to tell. So, and a lot of these cases don't pan out, and that's why he was available. So it's even guys that we DFA or cut loose or whatever, you regret those things. There's very few guys that like Hernan Perez was the one guy who was pointed out because Chris Iyer pointed it out, and I think it was Sussman said, well, Hernan Perez, okay, so you got one guy who you regret DFAing in a decade. Who else can you think of? Nobody.
And even Hernan, like, would he be better right now than Dixon? Yeah, maybe slightly, but yeah, no, definitely not. So you make you the GM when Leonis Martin comes off the DL. Yep. What are you doing?
Yeah, and these big league GM guys, they're not losing any sleep or shedding over tears over the 45th guy in their organization. So what do I do? I'd probably cut Reyes loose. But after that, I mean, we have Cosma is not – I mean, you boot him to the curb.
I mean, Cosma is clearly the best slugger in baseball. I mean, I don't think you can get rid of him. He's your everyday third baseman at this point. Who else is playing third base?
Lugo. We just called him Lugo.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're going to go to Cosma on more of on an everyday basis than him. Do you think that there is.
Right. No. I mean, yeah. What do you do?
Do you think there's any bit of ego in play here with Avila and not wanting to admit that he's wrong? I mean, obviously, it's impossible for us to tell, but
I just don't think he cares that much. I think he's just trying to carry him through. I don't think he's bending over backwards trying to keep him. If time comes to cut bait, he will. Yeah,
I think that's reassuring for all the listeners out there. It certainly is for me. Go ahead.
I just think these guys are less. Married to decisions than we think, and they're less married to kind of the personalities of some of these guys than we think too.
You're saying he's far more married to Mrs. Avila than to this decision. Okay. I don't necessarily want to get into it long term, but just a word, Grayson Griner has played very well since coming up.
He's been money.
He's such a big kid. He's such a big target back there. I kind of like that.
He's Maurer-esque.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, let's cut to your beef of the week.
Beef of the week. I'll keep it short this week. I was recently at a children's playground. I was not by myself. Okay, I had a child with me.
Did you have out your telescopic photo lens? Is that what this situation
was? No, I wasn't creeping. I was there with my kid to play at the playground. And let me tell you something about modern playgrounds. Mm-hmm. They have been dumbed down, right? I consider myself, you know, a fairly woke, progressive individual until I get into a child's playground. And everything has been safety coded. And, you know, there's no teeter-totter. The teeter-totter that's there is like this loop that goes up. And then there's a sleeve that goes over it, and I'm pantomiming how it works, and you just slide back and forth on this tube so nobody can get hurt by the teeter-totter, and it's super lame. Where are the metal slides? Gone. You know, you have the enclosed tube slide. You know, everything is either wood chips or this like bouncy rubber stuff. Are you familiar with this?
It's kind of like thick foam, if you will.
Yeah, it's got like this granularized rubber on it. Like, children, how are children going to learn how to set their own safety limits if everything is like sheltered for them? Okay. You got to learn, kid. I understand that. Okay. You're not going to throw some knives out on a playground. But like, how many of our grandparents didn't grow up in like a barn and they play in the hayloft? And
Sure.
There's no safety rails on there. Well, you know, a lot of farm children fell to their deaths too. But I mean, you know, they had lots of kids, so it's fine. That's my beef.
As long
of the
as
week.
You keep
make
enough
playgrounds more dangerous, is what I'm saying.
As long as you keep enough kids to work the farm, I think that's all you're really hoping to do.
You're cranking them out every spring. It's fine.
All right, let's move on to fire takes from below the line. I think I've explained it twice, so if you don't know what's going on, go ahead and revert back to last week's show where we explained it for the last time. Okay, the first one, this was Detroit Tigers, the team post on Facebook. The headline was, Tigers select Lewis Coleman, recall Carpenter as the 26th man. And here were some of the illuminating comments underneath that that post.
Like, people know so much about either of these guys, right?
Well, you'll see from the comments how much they know about these two gentlemen. The first one was, button up your jersey, Nick, with 2 exclamation points.
That was the comment under the title for these guys?
Yes. The next one, love listening to Rod Allen with Mario. They're a great team. Then the last one, when is the All-Star game voting start?
What the heck, people? Now, speaking of non sequiturs, I consider myself a very faithful Tigers fan, and I have, if not depth, a lot of breadth of knowledge about the Tigers. When they called up Lewis Coleman, I had no idea who the guy was.
Are you serious?
I watched a lot of spring training games, and I didn't know.
They signed him late into spring training. He was in the Royals bullpen for a bunch of years.
They called him up, and I'm like, oh, that's a guy we have now. I watched him pitch. He's cool and everything. I had no idea.
Yeah, I kind of dig that arm angle he throws from. I mean, even I'm not getting super excited about him in the Bobby Parnell mode, but I mean, he is
all right. If you're not excited, he's got a chance.
He is a reliever that is pitching out of our bullpen. That's not Daniel Stumpf. So
if you don't love him, it's great.
It's rude. Next one comes from 9 and 10 News, which is the CBS affiliate in Northern Michigan. The post was on Facebook. Baldwin is in the Guinness Book of World Records. At least they hope to be, since it's the now home to the world's largest brown trout sculpture. And the comment was, the community must be so proud, with one of those straight line smile, you know, not smiling, but just a blank face emoji. I thought that one was pretty funny. The thing is, a lot of the small communities just have money to burn. So it makes sense that you would burn it on a brown trout sculpture.
It reminds me of the world's largest weather vane in Whitehall, I think it is.
Oh, man. Podcast field trip to go see that.
Yeah, gather at the weather vane or the giant trout.
This one was actually a video posted to the Tigers Facebook page. Life as new parents has been a rush for Jessica and James McCann, but they know their first Mother's Day together will be, in quotes, one to remember. And the comment, in typical internet fashion, is, I'll love this story more when we sign a decent major league catcher.
They're trying to tell, you know, a real human interest story, and I'm going to just dump all over this person. Come on. That is quintessential commenter.
Yes, absolutely.
No humanity.
Yeah.
All humanity has been drained.
If that doesn't sum up 2008 or 18, I don't know what does. And we end with 2 bear stories. I figured that would be nice. The first one is from Fox 2 in Detroit. The post was, man tries to take selfie with bear kills him. And the comment was, LOL.
Come on. Man, the biggest thing about a bear attack is you need to survive so Donnie Kelly will come see you.
Something we all need to keep in mind.
Yeah, go ahead and get attacked, but if you want to see Donnie baseball, you got to make it through.
That's how I imagine, you know, as he's fighting for his life, must stay alive. See, died.
Are you serious? A person died from a bear attack?
It was in India, I think. I don't remember. No, not that it makes it better. I was just giving you more details to the story.
And thank you.
That's pretty much the detail of the story that I know. It was in India, and somebody said LOL. The last one, WFAA, which is a station in North Texas, posted, bear smashes car window, eats 24 cupcakes inside. In the very first comment, someone was super concerned. The comment was, how did he get the paper off?
Bear don't care. Eat it with a peeling.
Fine.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Yes. Okay. Let's go ahead and move on to Twitter questions. If you want to get
a lot, I think
we did have a lot. So I'll try and kind of filter through. Like we said before, I am at Jordan Hall 23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. And like we said,
email us
podcastianos@gmail.com. That will go directly to, I believe, to me. That sounds about right.
I hope so, because I ain't checking it.
Okay, so the first one is from Nicholas Haller. He asks, five things you've learned about the Tigers this year. Will our boy Boyd be traded? So let's do, like, one each. Five seems a bit much.
Well, something we learned about the Tigers?
Mm-hmm.
Their starting pitching is competent, is quality. I think it's top five or six in the league, isn't it? In the American League?
Yeah, I mean, when completely healthy. Well, actually, probably not when completely healthy.
Because we shed Sim.
Yeah. That's a good
Liriano
one.
Has been a revelation. Liriano's been great. To me, that's the biggest thing that's kept us afloat, is good starting pitching.
Yeah.
I heard we were top three or four in the league in WOBA or whatever, one of these fancy adjusted batting stats. Like, I don't know how this team is doing it, honestly.
I believe they call it smoke and mirrors. Okay, next one. Oh, mine. I don't know what this injury will do to his development, but Candelario, in my opinion, is a real player. I feel like
absolutely
we've learned that this year. Next one.
Boyd. I think if Boyd isn't traded, they should trade Boyd. If Boyd has a strong season, you know, up until the trade deadline, they should trade him because, like you said, smoke and mirrors a little bit. He gets by with not crazy impressive stuff.
He gets by, but
it's not crafty, but it's, you know, it's not elite level stuff.
I feel like he has just enough stuff and just enough command to mesh into actually a good pitcher. We've said this a million times. It just depends on what he would get us in return. I mean, he's not old. He's under contract for another couple of years. It would take a pretty substantial haul. But I mean, we're at the point in the rebuild where nobody should be untouchable.
Everyone could be enticed.
Yeah, exactly. Jeremy Troy asks us, I watched maybe five innings, listened to another six to seven of Tigers baseball this past week. Am I a bad fan? I thought this was a really interesting question.
We've talked about this on the podcast different times.
Have we?
And the thing is, I think we have.
Okay.
You are a consumer of a product. In this case, the product is Tigers baseball. If you don't want to consume said product, you don't have to. You're the consumer. You get to decide. I personally will never dog on somebody or dump on somebody for not being the right type of fan. You fan how you want to.
Exactly. Yep.
Right. You know, as long as you're not being a complete tool about it and insulting the McCann family. Okay. Don't be like that. Just, but if you don't show up at a game or you don't watch a game because they're not good, that's fine. I'm not going to dog on you.
Yeah.
And if you want to come back when they're good again, I'm not going to call you a fair weather fan. I'm going to say, oh, you were very tasteful for not watching when they were awful.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
Yeah. Once again, living a better life than we are.
Right. This isn't, I mean, that's why I feel for Lions fans, because they feel like this crazy pride and prestige for liking garbage.
Yeah, like,
there's no bonus prize
for having sat through crap. Like, maybe if it makes you enjoy the success more in the intrinsic value, that's fine. But you, like you say, you don't get some sort of badge for, you know, having stuck around through the garbage years.
And that's part of the reason why professional sports is a little bit twisted. And we have these big state, you know, publicly funded stadium deals, and owners can jerk around the fans and get away with a lot of boorish behavior, because it's one of these rare products that you won't lose customers for doing stupid things. If Pepsi came out and their product was flawed, or there are some kind of grounds in the Pepsi, you'd say, I'm not going to drink as much Pepsi. I'm going to drink Coke. If there's metal shards in your football, we'll get a better draft pick. Drink my metal shards. Come on. It's peculiar how sports works.
Next one from Jack at Jack in Blue. He says, not really a question, but referring to a question from last week's podcast. I was also recently followed by Brennan Bosch on Instagram. He's not done too badly for himself. He married ex Fox Sports Detroit girl Allison Ochmenek. And he has a picture here, and it shows the two together. You suggested that Brennan was a good looking guy. I would suggest in this photo that he has very much outkicked his coverage, so to speak. But then again, you think he's a good-looking dude, so I don't know.
I honestly don't know anything about attractive people. I just am so far out of that world. I wouldn't know.
It's because you're the most distinctive man in the industry. As previously stated. Next one comes from the Ryan Blevins. He says, when, not if, the Tigers sweep the Indians this week and end up in first place tie, how will you celebrate?
Same way I celebrate everything. Beer.
I have a very specific tied for first place dance that I do. It's a cross between the Dougie and like a rain dance. That's how I'm gonna celebrate.
That will be on Instagram, right?
Yeah, it'll be on my Instagram story. Follow that.
I'm holding that. You do that. Scott, Instagram story. I'm writing that down.
Scott A. Wilson, also known as at Wilson S A D D E T. He says, how much longer will we have to endure Jim Price?
Some people, like, they really enjoy dogging on the announcers. Usually it's Rod and Jim. I don't know. Probably 2-3 more years. I mean, he's not super young.
Here's the thing with Jim. Jim is going to die in the booth. So if you want him gone, you are literally wishing for his death. So, you know, it depends on how bad you want him gone. I mean, there's probably something you can do about it. Just kidding. Just kidding. But no, for real.
I don't mind Jim that much either. I think Dan Dickerson does so much heavy lifting and is so excellent. He overpowers Jim. In a good way, not in a stealing the spotlight way, but in a way where he's adding so much of the intellectual side. He's adding so much of the analytical side, the explanation, the setup. If you know, you don't want somebody who's going to infringe on Dan, because Dan is so good.
Yeah, Dan is the Arlo White of the radio broadcasting world. He is so good, and we don't cherish him as much as we should.
I think when he is done, he will be almost, he may be to the same level as Ernie. Yep. Ernie, I think he'll have earned it by the time. I mean, he's brilliant.
David Ham asks, is Kristen Stewart a Victor Reyes fan? Clever.
If your last name isn't Reyes, you're not really a Victor Reyes fan.
Next one comes from Dan Fernandez. How is it possible to dislike steak? I'm assuming that is directed at me. I publicly stated in last week that I do not like steak. Here's the thing. It's not that I don't like steak. It's that I want something going on with my meat. Like, if I have meat, I would prefer it burgered with, like, bacon and barbecue sauce on the top. In almost no instance do I want just a plain hunk of meat. I want something going on. I want it in a casserole. I want it in tacos. I want it, you know, something, you know, in a rice or a noodle bowl. I don't just like hunks of meat.
You know, real connoisseurs want the real essence of the food that it is. People who consume quality ice cream want vanilla ice cream because they can savor the nuance and intricacies of it. Okay? Mm-hmm. You just need a more refined palate.
Yeah, maybe. Anthony Troy asked us, is there any way the Tigers can convince V-Mart to do what Ichiro did with the Mariners would be an easy path to bring up Kristen Stewart? No, it's not going to happen.
We need a healthy body. That's Victor Martinez.
Yeah, I saw your tweet of, you know, about him looking at the DL list. I thought that was pretty funny.
He's strong, feeling good.
Jeff Morford at High OPS asked us, what is the false hope games back standard by month?
First place. You got to be in first place to have any hope. I mean, that's it. Otherwise, this team is bad.
At Tiger_Lifer asks us, who will tally a major league walk first this season, Dowell Lugo or Kristen Stewart? I thought that was a particularly good one.
Well, considering Lugo is with the club right now, you would guess him. But he never walks. Lugo never walks. So it's still Lugo.
Yeah, no, I'm going Stewart. I'm going Stewart.
You would.
At Angry Jack Morris, who appears to be a Jack Morris parody account. I don't know how you feel about parody accounts, but they're just so hackish. I kid, of course.
Yeah, who would pretend to be somebody else on the internet? That's ridiculously stupid.
He says, why don't pitchers use Bengay anymore? I could throw 200 pitches with that stuff on my arm and inside my glove.
Have you ever used that?
I actually have not. I never threw hard enough to
You're
need
a runner,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that like Icy Hot? What is it? It's like some balm, right?
Yeah, it just loosens the muscle.
Oh, okay.
Through
your skin.
Speaking of my pitching prowess in a younger day, Tiger_ Lifer asks us, also, what pitches did you have in your arsenal, Jordan, and how would you rate each of them on a 20 to 80 scale? So this is what you all have been tuning in all these years for, is to hear me talk about how I pitched back in the day. So here's the arsenal. I was left-handed. I featured a low 80s
good start.
Low 80s fastball that I could spot. Don't get me wrong, I could spot that thing. But I don't know, 35 maybe. It was not a dynamic fastball, we'll put it that way. I featured kind of a Blaine type curveball and maybe a Smiley type slider. Those were kind of my go-tos. I don't know, probably both 40-45 pitches. And then I had a split finger that was my put away pitch, if you will. Though I put away shockingly few batters. here's the thing. Nothing that I threw was hard, but I could spot pretty much all of them. I was your typical lefty grinder. I was all right. Dwayne Bielow. That might be a decent comparison.
If you appeared in a major league game and Statcast was on, mm-hmm. would it register all your pitches as change-ups, kind of like they do for position players when they pitch?
Oh, no. There was clear delineation between my pitches. Good. Yeah, throwing 82 miles an hour, you have to have that or you're going to get smoked. No, my fastball was you know, low 80s. My curveball was probably high 60s, slider somewhere in the middle. I was probably 45% slider. You know, they talk about the Astros. You want guys that can spin it. They'd have loved me. All I did was spin it.
Did you dope your ball? Did you get some grippy?
Didn't need to. At Blastianos_ said thoughts on Jacoby's aggressiveness. She loves it. Like I said before, we're going to get into Jacoby in depth on next week's show. I wanted to do that this week, just didn't quite get to it. But
Little teaser.
Evan.
My teaser is don't get carried away. I'll play devil's advocate a little bit. Like, you have to do what makes sense. That's all.
Yeah.
We'll more on that later.
Evan Ken 95 says, since today is Bark at the Park night, what kind of dog would be the best at playing baseball and what kind would be the worst? I know you love dogs so much, so I'll let you go ahead and take this one.
Maybe a German Shepherd would be the best. I feel like they're an athletic, multi-purpose dog.
Probably a sheepdog of some sort, right?
Maybe. The worst kind of dog would be like a Pomeranian. I mean, it looks like a little fluff ball, you know?
Yeah, something
you could, you might step on them.
Something that's a fancy boy.
Like a, I don't know, a Shih Tzu. You know, one of these little ankle biters. They'd probably be bad at baseball.
I had a Schnauzer that was super into playing fetch, which is essentially all baseball is. It's a glorified game of fetch. So that might be a good. She's pretty quick. David Bratz asks us for the podcast, when Jacoby Jones and Leonis Martin are both starting, who should be in center field? I think Jones is as good in center and actually has a shot to be the center fielder of the future, whereas Martin is unlikely to be here next year. Thoughts?
No, I would say Martin still has the upper hand in center field. More experience. I prefer Martin.
I've actually had the same thought to myself. When we're good again, Martin is not going to be our center fielder. There is a non-zero chance that Jacoby Jones is our center fielder. And I take your point on his experience. Clearly, he's played a lot more games in center than Jacoby. But Jacoby's a better outfielder than he is. I don't think there's any doubt to that. Oh, I would switch them, but you know,
unfortunately, Derek Hill, I don't think is going to be the answer, and Asokar is probably not the answer either.
What about that? What about Daz?
Daz is a corner outfielder, isn't he?
Oh, I don't know. I just assumed he was a center fielder because his dad was a center fielder. I think that's how it works. I think you're legally obligated to play the same position as your father.
I honestly don't know. I didn't know we had Lewis Coleman, so you're asking me?
Bad idea. At Breslin Birds, another one on Lugo's low walk rate. How many plate appearances until Dowell Lugo's first walk? We should have a bet here. Whoever's closest wins pride.
I don't think he walks in the big leagues this year.
Oh. I'm gonna say he does get a walk this year. I feel like that's the delineation. Boom.
After I picked him over Stewart.
So you're saying that neither of them are going to get a walk in the big leagues this year?
Yeah, that's fine. I'll go with that. It's fine.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with he will get a walk at some point this season. And Renee at Hallback R asks, who in the name of all that is holy is Pete Cosma? Put another way, which of these new call-ups are part of the Tigers' future and which will be forgotten by this time next year?
Pete Cosma is the reincarnation of Nick Punto. which of these call-ups can stay, will have the power to stay? Griner, maybe. Griner, yeah, could be a good backup catcher. Yeah. Lugo, I don't know.
Lugo will be on the team next year. Whether he is a contributing member of the team, I don't know, but he'll be on the team next year.
Like, what other? Hicks. Hick, the problem with Hicks is he plays kind of he's not really a strong defensive catcher. He's all right, and otherwise he's playing first, which is a power position. He's not, I mean, it's just kind of okay.
And he seems to be the type of guy who needs regular at bats that he's just never gonna get in that situation. He's a good guy to have around. I struggle to see how he fits into the future.
You need to hit a lot to be a regular big league first baseman. You need to hit a lot.
Sure. Let's go rapid fire through the bullpen. Lewis Coleman.
Will he be here next year? Is that the question? No.
Reininger.
No.
Ryan Carpenter.
Sorry, that seemed a little aggressive. No.
Blaine. We did mention Blaine start. Blaine Hardy started for the Tigers. Let's all just... Good job, Blaine.
He got through four to third, but it was quality.
He's a reliever. I mean, obviously he's been starting for the last, you know, 3 weeks down at Toledo, but he's a reliever.
He's been effective.
And he gutted it out. I want this bad for Blaine. Just obviously you all know how much we like Blaine, but definitely appreciate the effort he put in. Last one, Michael Itzner asks us, how is it that there are nine and then in all caps with an exclamation point, 9 teams that have worse records than the Tigers right now.
Oh, this is where I got that fact from when I was perusing the comments. Yeah. I don't know.
So you don't pull your own stats. You just cherry pick from the list. Son, that makes sense.
Son, let me tell you, I'm not working especially hard at this. Okay. I'm trying to get my, you know, podcast to effort ratio as high as possible. Why is there 9? We're out kicking our coverage, right?
There are some Brennan Bosch, terrible baseball teams this year.
We are the Brennan Bosch, and we are hooked up with a Fox Sports Detroit girl. That is what's happening. Okay.
Yeah. Boom. You cut to the core of the matter. That's what we do on this show. All right. Oh, speaking of, I will be at the game on Wednesday. So if you see your boy in the stands, say hello. Going down with Big Steve. So I don't know who you'd rather say hi to, me or Big Steve, but we'll both be there.
You see Big Steve, ask him about his balls.
all 69 of them. Yep. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric. The show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. Podcastianos@gmail.com. I just subbed that into there on the fly. I didn't even have that in my notes. I just did that one off the top of my head. And we would love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. It's been a good show this week, Eric. Do you have anything else to say to the people before we get out of here?
And I will mercifully decline.
All right. With that being said, we will catch you guys next week. And eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.